Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell. Looking back now, as somebody who has gone through startups and developing and selling companies, what do you think you did right? You guys did right, even though you didn't have that experience and you kind of thrown into that situation. What are you proudest the most that you did right there? I won't ask you what you did wrong, because usually we do 1,000 things wrong.
I think learning that learning mindset, that hunger to learn. I think, who was it? Peter Drucker said, the only sustainable competitive advantage or competitive edge that you have is the ability to learn ahead of the competition. And learning, you got to like learn and apply, when we say learning here, the ability to pivot from, for example, when we had a successful web design and web development business, to pivot and start to offer online marketing services. There were better margins in there because web development was getting very competitive. People were offshoring. So pivoting to sell search engine optimization services and things around email marketing. And then later, also, once that got saturated, pivoting to become one of Google's top, or initially one of 200 global certified partners on the Google Analytics product. That was a big pivot for us. So that ability to learn and apply, and not everything that you learn, you can apply right away. And sometimes you try things and they don't work out.
Yeah.
But I think learning is essential. Learning and doing, learning and executing. I think this was a common thread in all the companies that we've started, including some of the new ventures that I'm involved in today.
Yeah. And so let's just say, looking back, what time of year was it that you started? You got laid off. When did you get, roughly what time of the year? We won't talk too much about this because I don't want you to break down in tears.
Actually, you talk about it in a little bit more detail, I get emotional.
Yeah.
It was in that early that first quarter of 2003. Yeah.
2003, first quarter. And then how long until you actually started the new company?
About roughly 2 months. Yeah.
And so 2 months there, so that's a busy 2 months. And during that 2 months, now you really get busy and you really start to accelerate your learning curve and your growth curve and all the challenges you run into. How long did it take before you got to the point where you felt like, this is going to work? We're going to make this thing, the scary stage of, are we going to survive or not? You know, how long did it take for you to fight your way through that?
Just like I will never forget that feeling of being laid off, I will never forget the feeling of closing that first deal.
Yeah.
When that first client said yes to a $1,400 contract, huge contract for a 4-page website.
Wow.
That took us 2 months to build. I'm not exaggerating. Like, there was no WordPress at the time. We had to do things in HTML. And
wow.
Anyhow, so that feeling of, oh my God.
There was front page though. Wasn't there front page with Windows?
I forgot.
Yeah.
It was too long.
I think so. But anyway, go ahead.
So that feeling of, yes, like after several weeks of knocking on doors, trying different things, like, is there a market for this stuff? Who's going to buy from us? We don't know how to sell. So after that first sale, your confidence, or at least my confidence, like the boost you get is amazing. And then we just worked harder because we had a lot of rejections initially. I mean, I didn't know. I'll tell you a funny story. I was taking all these courses on how to sell.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I took a course and the instructor said, here are like 30 questions you should ask. You should learn all this from your lead before you write down a proposal. That will increase your chances of winning. So I went in this afternoon, this interview that was set up for me. I paid someone to get me into that client. We got in there and I was speaking to a VP, a decision maker, and it was after lunch. And I started asking these questions and all of a sudden, I'm going through these questions and I'm looking at him and he's dozing off. The guy fell asleep. I put the lead to sleep because in my mind, I learned that I have to ask all these questions.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad I was in sales. I swear to God, I'm not making this up, Larry. So if I was able to do this to someone who didn't have a sales background, had to learn it through listening to CDs and going to courses, anyone can, I think, learn sales. It's not easy. It wasn't. I had to learn, like, if they have an objection, how do you respond? If they ask about how many clients do you have? We didn't have a whole lot of clients. How many years of experience do you have in this business? Like, I didn't have good answers for any of this, but there's a way to do this without making stuff up. So my long story short is learning the skills that you don't have and working hard towards mastering those skills, it's going to really help you as you grow these businesses and as you grow your business.
Yeah. So you didn't really have a staff. I mean, it was just you and your partner. So you had to make the sales and then you had to actually build the sites, right?
Absolutely. No staff at the time. And in all the seven or so ventures that I've been in, I've always had a business partner.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is the only way to go. A lot of successful people have made it without having partners. For me, it's just always finding someone who complements your skills, not just hard skills. These are important. Ideally, if you're technical and you can implement and they can sell, that'd be amazing, like a match made in heaven. But also the soft skills. For example, if you're the type where you're trusting and you're a believer, you need someone to always check on you and make sure that you're not just being, you're just not making the wrong decisions. You're not doing the proper due diligence. So finding partners who would always check on you, check you and slow you down if you're the type who just wants to execute like me, that's important. We didn't have staff, but the business partner that I've had, my business partner was a great support in that sense. He wasn't the one going out selling, but he was giving a lot of the other feedback. Yeah.
Well, the thing, Ferris, is that salespeople need to be balanced by skeptical people on their team, because as salespeople, we are naturally optimistic. We see the best thing. Salespeople are the easiest people to be sold, the easiest people to be conned, because we want to believe the best. It's like someone says it's like that. We go, yes, it's like that. And then we find out, no, he was lying. And so you need people around you who can spot the obvious mistakes we made. And so that's a great point to bring up. And so how long was it before you hired your first staff? And how big did it get before you started to pivot into these other businesses?
Yeah. So I think it was about 6 months into it. So it was toward the end of 2003 when we had the first hire. And he was a colleague at the company that folded. So the trust level, he used to work with me there. So we knew each other. We could work together really well. And he became a third partner. And when you're building a business, your first hire, whether they're a founder or not, is really important. Of course, if they're a founder, they're there with you. But your first hire, it could make or break your business, especially if you're hiring for a skill that you don't have. Your first hire is going to be a salesperson because you can't sell for whatever reason. And they can't sell either. Then this could just bring you under, right? So the first hire was about 6 months down the road, and he was strong at delivery. And once I closed the deal, he took everything else. I was a consultant, senior consultant, client facing,
right,
out there networking and trying to get us business. And he took care of delivery and implementation in the back office.
Talk a little bit more about that. Your first hire can make or break you, because I'm sure you found that pattern to show up again as you've gone through starting other businesses.
Absolutely. And sometimes hiring is one of the most difficult areas of the business in my mind.
Yeah.
And I just did a live stream a few weeks ago on just hiring, I think an hour and a half on tips on hiring. So, but a very bad, sad, crazy experience is at one stage, we hit six digits in terms of revenue, and this is maybe we're about $250,000 a year, 2 years down the road. And I figured, you know what? I've been doing sales and I've been okay at it. So now let us go after the larger clients. Let's just move up. We have that growth mindset in us. So I figured I'll get someone who's more seasoned, they know sales, they've sold to larger companies. So we did some research, we found some candidates, we hired one person. And we were generous in our compensation, and we didn't have a whole lot of money in terms of profit margin to play with at the time. Revenue was good, but profit margin wasn't there yet. And Larry, for 3 months, this man did not close one deal.
Yeah.
And we had to let him go. And that was another hard thing to do. But that put us back, I don't know, months back, because we had all these growth plans. I mean, it was really, really difficult. Luckily, we had a good revenue stream by that time, and I was still selling. So it slowed down our growth. It didn't kill us, but it hurt. It was really 3 months of no sales. And all the time it took me to train him and all that. So the thing out of the story is, be very judicious, be very careful in hiring, just learn a lot about hiring. And if you don't know a specific area that you're hiring for, get a friend of yours, pay someone to be part of that interview process. It will save you a whole lot of money.
It is great if you can design the specific skill set you're looking for and find someone who's got lots of experience with that, and they will come in and be motivated. They get caught up in your vision, your mission, and they want to bring their strength and partner up with you and do something great with you. But so much of the time, I find that we get conned into believing this person. First of all, they'll come in with their credentials. Because you'll have your things you're looking for, and they say, well, I've done this, I can do that. We don't check enough to see, have they really ever done that? Or they're just saying they've done it. What actually, it's like one of the things, Ferris, I do when this, getting guests for this call, is we do such a background check on everybody, because first of all, I can't interview someone who doesn't have real world experience. And it's like, it just, by the time I get through that, I'm not ready to pass out, because it's trying to get blood out of a stone. They just don't know anything, and you don't want to make them look foolish. And so you try to make them look good. But when I get somebody who's got the experience, it's very easy, because we've traveled the same road one way or another, and you have the same experiences in different ways. And I fell in that trap myself, that at different times, you need a certain thing. Okay, we've got it defined. Let's bring in an expert, and they're going to come in and do it for us. I found out that never worked. It's almost like you need to figure it out yourself and then bring somebody in that you can train.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then have them prove themselves to you, and then gradually move them into that position of responsibility.
Yeah.
That seems to work more often than not for me.
Absolutely. I mean, you need people to grow, whether it's a product company or it's a services company. And obviously with services company, you need people. You can't grow without people.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you're closing deals, you need people to deliver, or you need people to help you sell. On the other hand, don't rush. Do not rush the hiring decision. Even if you have to slow down revenue or implementation, I think rushing a hiring decision, and I've made this mistake more than once, unfortunately, because the pressure is so high from your team. Hey, Ferris, we need help. We've got these projects. So I need to hire a delivery person. And then you just, in the heat of the moment, you cut corners. You don't do all the thorough interview that process that you should follow.
Yeah.
You don't check their references. You don't just explain to them what is expected of them. Their role, the job description is not very well defined. You rush the hiring decision and you end up in a bad situation. So my advice to entrepreneurs is take your time. You need to hire to grow, but take your time and follow all the best practices. There's a bunch of stuff on YouTube on how to make a good decision in terms of hiring. So don't rush hiring at all.
And especially as you've said early on, it's even more critical early on. And so
Absolutely. In
our business, we always refer to it as recruiting. You've got to be always recruiting, and great companies grow from within, because great people are doing pretty well somewhere. They're usually not out on the sidewalk looking for a job with a sign. Usually they're doing pretty well, and you like to find them and offer them a chance to do better. The way to find that is word of mouth from somebody who you know, who's already works for you. And I've heard over and over again from people how they found most of their best people through their own organization, or they ran into them in the normal patterns of life. And when you talk about with new companies, in all of these companies, the recruiting, the hiring is such an important part. That's going to be reassuring to people listening to this who are having hiring problems, from a receptionist all the way to C-level positions.
Absolutely.
That they're going to feel like it's not just me.
Absolutely. And you mentioned a good point there, Larry, is your network. I mean, at one point, if you need to hire five people, if you're like experiencing massive growth, there's a limit to how many you can find from within your network.
Right.
But initially, word of mouth, because the trust level has to be there. Learning a technical skill or even learning a soft skill, that's easy. But if you hire someone and they happen to be a jerk,
yeah,
like, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
If they have to be, I don't want to say the word lazy, or maybe it's okay, if they just don't work hard,
yeah,
or they just don't work the bare minimum, that's what I'm concerned about. I used to joke, and it's not a joke. I always say, when it comes to hiring, I look for three things. They like to learn, and they work hard, and they're nice.
Yeah.
These are the three criteria I look for. And we've hired people who had zero experience in a very highly specialized area of work, but they had amazing customer relationship management. They're just really great with customers, like from an account management perspective. And we were looking for a technical account manager. And this one person who came recommended, as you mentioned, from one of our senior folks, and he said, this guy is like a sponge. He learned, just give him the opportunity. And he wants to leave sort of a dormant industry, a sector that he wants to come into this area of analytics. And we took a chance on this person and he became one of our top account managers. So that trust and that the word of mouth, like he came through someone we knew. So that trust passed through to us.
Say those three things again. Those three things are very important. And I want to make sure people get locked in on them because, I mean, I think it covers the battlefield, really, with a new person.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience. Remember, we have a valuable webinar that is absolutely free. Register for it right now at whitealumwinning.com. Thanks for listening.